Okay, now if that's true, as we continue to read, everything should match. It's not Mary, that's for sure. Revelation 12:2, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth, pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. So here's the 10-horned dictator. This is pretty self-explanatory who this is. Verse 9 gives it real easily right in front of us if we just simply believe the words. So this satanic or this devil, this red dragon, amazingly is a very popular religion throughout the world. If you go to China, they will magnify the red dragon. If you research any of the mystery religions, the deep dark mystery religions, they are going to be worshiping the red dragon or the red serpent or the reptilian. So this being is throughout history. Okay, this is a multi-head being, 7 heads. And in this red dragon, its natural state we know to be Leviathan. Described in his natural state in Job 41, the entire chapter, 34 verses. Okay, this is a reptilian type beast, and this is why you have people worshiping the snake. And it's a worship of Satan. And this red dragon is eventually, as we read down through here, is going to try to kill the woman or the nation of Israel. And it says, verse 4, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. Generally, that's what Bible teachers use to show that Satan has 1/3 of the angels under his command and God has 2/3. But are you going to take that phrase to be something about the future or something about the past? Revelation chapter 4 says that the things that follow are hereafter. So is this implying that there are 1/3 of the angels left that will fall yet? Now these angels, these stars of heaven, are clearly to be angels or fallen angels. 1/3 of the angels to be fallen come down to earth and start walking around on earth because Satan gets kicked out. So the tribulation time period is going to be a wild, wild scene that the Twilight Zone people are trying to inform us or inform people about. Of course, they're doing it in a wacky way. And so during the tribulation time, apparitions and demons and angels will be a regular occurrence. This is why Hebrews 13, verse 2 mentions that if you entertain strangers, some have entertained angels unawares. So again, Revelation is not that difficult of a book to teach. It's a tougher book to believe. And the closer we get to Christ's coming, the more demonic or wacky Hollywood will become, and the movies and everything, where what is this one with this guy, this Batman type, where why is this thing one of the, you know, big popular shows? Is because Satanism is on the rise. I mean, you'll see in the street preaching the horns regularly, and that ain't the Texas Longhorns, and they're not telling you 2 outs. They are telling you that they worship the snake, the serpent. Now, most of them, I realize, is just rebellion, just trying to get a rise out of us or something. Okay, but this idea about the red dragon is throughout history. And if you read anything about the lost city of Atlantis, I do believe that it's got something associated with that. And the lost city of Atlantis, and if you study the pyramids, and if you go down in South America, you'll find some of the similar things that you find over in Egypt. So verse 4, his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. So they're making down on earth. So here comes the friendly Martian. or Bewitched. You see, that's back in the 60s, starting to get ready, geared up for it. Now it's just right out in the open. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Okay, I don't know of anybody yet that has this child really absolutely figured out. Okay, it appears to be Jesus Christ, but it also appears to be somebody serving with Jesus Christ. So it's, you know, are you going to be able to pin it all down? I don't know. Verse 5, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Now, that verse makes it sound like the Lord Jesus himself, because he will do those things. But this also sounds like she's giving birth to a man-child. Okay, verse 6, and the woman fled into the wilderness. Israel fled into the wilderness. The wilderness, Saudi Arabia. Okay, that's where the wilderness is at. It's not what is known to be Sinai Peninsula between Aqaba and the Suez Canal. This is Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia has a very significant role in the Bible. Saudi Arabia still today has a very significant role. It's one of the few Bible lands that it retains its name even today. Okay, some of them do that. Lebanon is another one like that. Saudi Arabia. Now, what we know as the nation of Jordan in the Bible would be the nation of Edom. Okay, but Saudi Arabia is Arabia. That's where Mount Sinai is. That's where the children wandered for 40 years. That's why there's a fascination for that. There is a guy there's a website called Prophecy in the News, prophecyinthenews.com. And I think these guys generally what they do is they read the newspapers and try to get the Bible to match up with it. But still, in that, they do have a lot of interesting thoughts in there. And they are now selling a book that I have the first copy of. It's called The Exodus Case. And it's a guy that has some first-class printing ability that has continued the research of Ron Wyatt. Of the Mount Sinai, and he's got some beautiful pictures in there and a lot of research, and now he's got an updated, added information on that website. So it's pretty fascinating things. But this thing about Saudi Arabia is amazing. And the thing is that it's still being affected today. Saudi Arabia is known as Holy Land to the Muslims. Okay, and if a person was to research the motivation behind suicide bombing, and if you're going to put that with 9-1-1, you'd have to figure Saudi Arabia in the mix, but yet we don't go after Saudi Arabia. If you believe the conventional interpretation of 9-1-1 of the 19 suicide bombers, 15 came from Saudi Arabia. That's from their published accounts. None of them came from Iraq, so why in the world are we there? You see, and originally everybody, if you talk to most people about Iraq war, they take it back to 9-1-1. But yet even our president has said, I have heard him say it, that it has nothing to do with 9-1-1. I've heard him say it, that it has nothing to do with bin Laden, when that was the original thing of it. Somebody's messing around. Now, if you want to read into get into some other alternative information about 9-1-1, some say of the 19 suicide bombers, the 15 in Saudi Arabia are still living in Saudi Arabia. So there's something really weird going on. And you say, what do you believe? Who knows what you believe? Because first off, none of us are going to get first-hand knowledge of anything. It's quite clear something weird is being pushed on the American people. Okay, and a lot of people have a lot of ideas. But in the Bible, this wilderness is Saudi Arabia. Okay, that is the area. So it still has a significant role, and it's going to have a significant role in the future. Now, in the future, this place called Saudi Arabia and even Edom is going to be turned into a lake of fire. So God is going to torch the place. Isaiah 35 writes about that, Isaiah 34, and then Ezekiel 35 writes about that. Okay, this woman fled into the wilderness. Now, there's something else that's going to go down into this wilderness. Let's try Revelation chapter 17. Revelation 17, verse 3. Okay, this is Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. If you read Revelation 17, 18, you'll find a bunch of characteristics, and there's only one religion on earth that I know of that can match all the characteristics, and that would be the Vatican City. So what is this woman here, this whore in Revelation 17? She, verse 3, it says, "So he carried me away into the Spirit, into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names and blasphemy, having seven heads, 10 horns, just like what we read in Revelation 12. So if you're going to run with that, that looks like there's the Vatican City going down into Saudi Arabia, make an agreement with them, and of course they are starting to do that now. This Pope is trying to make concessions with the Muslims. And if you go back and read a little bit of more history about World War II, Adolf Hitler and the Nazi Party did have agreements with Muslim leaders to be killing the Jews in their area as the Nazis killed them in their area. Okay, so they were together, and there's no very little difference between them. Yesterday we were at the Town and Country Day. Used to be called Touch of Dutch, but some don't want that to be called the Touch of Dutch anymore. That's too racial gendering. Okay, but passed out tracts. I got to watch Joab more than anything, but several tracts being passed out. And as we're standing there, here come the Shriners. And I was standing beside Debbie Newton, and I asked her, I said, "Do you know what the Red Fez is all about?" And she didn't know about that history. And here come the Shriners who talk about, you know, giving money to help children. And if you look at their symbolism, they got the red fez hat. That is commemorating the slaughtering of 50,000 Christians in Morocco by Muslims, where they caught their blood and drank their blood out of the hats. The fez. F-E-Z. And if you look at the Orak, O-R-A-K, and you see the crescent moon and the sword, and theirs was even called the Arab Patrol. This is a group out of Michigan City. And how many of those men know that? Probably none of them. Maybe they do. I don't know. It depends how high up in it. Depends how much they've read. But here you have this walking right in front of us, and people, and it's just a subtle thing, and people don't pick up on it. You see, the Masons have that Quran involved, and that's one of their gods. So this is going right with Catholicism, as the Bible shows it's going to be that way, even though the Crusades was the Catholics and the Muslims fighting against each other. But in reality, they are very similar. Okay, and so we find all this throughout the Scriptures, not only that, throughout history when you read and study some of the, you know, secrets of society and that stuff. Okay, back in Revelation 12, verse 6, the woman fled into the wilderness. Just like Israel did in the Old Testament, where she hath a place prepared of God, okay, a specific location of protection. I'm sure you know what that is. The specific town or city of protection. Anybody want to get that? Petra. Okay, Petra. Selah Petra. that they should feed her there 1,203 days for 3.5 years. So this event must be taking place in the middle of the tribulation time period. So now you got 3.5 years later. So the Jews, because they're poor and needy, because they haven't had the mark, or these people don't have the mark of the beast, they cannot get food, they cannot get water because of a 3.5 year famine. Somebody's going to have to feed them to help them be sustained. And they feed them with manna as they did in the Old Testament. Micah chapter 7 verse 14 also reveals that which hath been is that which shall be. And when you read the Old Testament, that's not just history, that is future prophecy. A lot of that's going to be happening again. Okay, and so everything's got to be matching. Of course, verse 6 would be one to show that that cannot be Mary. At least there's no recorded history of that happening to her and Joseph. Okay, that they should feed her there 1,203 days. So there's 30 days in a month, 12 months in a year. That would be a prophetic calendar. And there's war in heaven. Okay, this is the real Star Wars. This is the real thing. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and dragon fought and his angels. Michael, one of the archangels, one of the two named in the Bible. Okay, Michael, how you remember how to spell his name right is E-L on the end. E-L is God. Mike-L, Daniel, Daniel, the E-L on the end is God. L, Elion, and things like that. That's how I remember how to spell it right, so you don't get the A and E wrong. Michael, he shows up in the Bible. He's usually showing his strength. Gabriel shows up in the Bible. He usually shows some wisdom because he's got the gift of gab. And so he is giving out wisdom of some sort of a message. Okay, Michael wins this battle, and in Daniel chapter 10, you got a chapter in the Old Testament talks about Star Wars. Now, some of you probably read Frank Peretti's book, Piercing the Darkness, or one of those things, which I think has some valid information in it, but I think it also does have some invalid information in it mingled in there. Do our prayers affect the spirit world as he's implying? The more we pray, the stronger angels get. You know, the least we don't pray much, they get, you know, I don't know if they don't get into the weight room as much. I don't know. But still, that should encourage a person to pray more effectively or more efficiently for the workings of God. Here is your guest, Star Wars. So Michael wins. Okay, and it said in verse 8, and prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Okay, so now the devil's is limited, I would suppose he's limited to earthly activities. He is not limited today to earthly activities. The major sphere of Satan's influence today is in the first heaven, what we know as the air. Okay, that is why Ephesians 2 verse 2 refers to him as the prince of the power of the air. During this time period, he is booted out of heaven, the first heaven, down to earth itself. This seems to go with 1 Peter 5, verse 8, where it says, be vigilant, be sober, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about, walking on earth, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, looking to eat something, in particular, a person. Okay, some blood-filled being. Now, we can get into the deep, dark stuff, you know, which you don't really care to, but Snevlin's got about 9 DVDs if you want to get into the deep, dark stuff, where the Bible seems to give enough of it, but you don't want to get infatuated with that stuff because you can get drawn into it very easily. So this red dragon is described in Job 41. He is mentioned in Isaiah 27 as Leviathan twice. He is mentioned there where God is going to punish Leviathan. And you'll see that his number one attribute, or not attribute, but his number one goal in verse 9 is deceiving. And notice he has the capability to deceive the entire world. See that? Verse 9. Which deceiveth the whole world. Now, one of the arguments, if you get dealing with a very zealot Catholic, is if you try to show some of the faults in their religion, eventually they're going to bring up this argument: we can't be wrong, we have so many. How can you say we're wrong? Look at how many followers we have. Are you telling me that that a billion people can be deceived? I'm telling you that 6 billion people can be deceived by Satan himself. If only 8 got in the boat with Noah, everybody else was deceived. You see, and their spirit of deception is a very powerful thing. And so we just basically need to realize that we are... each of us can be vulnerable to this deception. And the frustrating thing about deception is you figure it out after the fact. Now, in regards to salvation, if he's lost that battle, meaning that you have received Jesus Christ, the next thing that he's going to spend most of his time is to accuse you. That's verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. So there must be a false one. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. So there's the second thing, accusing. Accusations. And of course, it seems like Christians always want to get in on this to help the devil out, to run along with the accusations and to spread a bunch of gossip and slander against people and to kick them while they're down and keep it going for the, you know, cause of the ministry. And this is a sad fact of what's going on. Accusing. Okay, how does this process work? Satan can go right into the throne of God. And if your name comes up, he would most likely accuse you to God, requesting God to take you out, requesting God to destroy you, requesting God to punish you, requesting God to take away a hedge of protection. This is what he did with Job. Job chapter 1, where he was in the throne of God. And God brought Job up as a bone of contention. Have you considered my servant Job? Now, of course he has. And so God was basically using Job to pick a fight with Satan. And he said, well, yeah, I've considered him, but you put a hedge about him and I can't get to him. And so God said, okay, we'll pull that away. And so immediately, right after that, he lost his wealth, he lost his children. Okay, so you can see that God removed the protection. And then he took his health from him in the next chapter. But Job, up until that point, remained faithful. And then his three buddies showed up, and that's where the real accusations came in. Those three buddies were actually used by Satan to get at Job. Okay, and he's an accuser. Now, what he will do is he will accuse you and I to God, and then I doubt he will do it personally. He will have some little demon or some little ilk or imp or whatnot come down and accuse God to you. Give thoughts in your mind when things are going bad. Oh, God don't love you. He don't care. He's gone, you know, and he don't care about what's going on. And you need to just go do your thing anyway because you need to live and let live. You know, that's how it goes. And so he's going to try to discourage us. That is the process. In the Bible, this would be called whispering. Okay, whispering back and forth, you know, where some, you know, back and forth. And this is what unclean spirits often do. This is what they do against husband and wife to get us divided, between parents and children to get us divided. And if we could see this spirit world after a fuss in a family, there's probably a little imp in the corner getting the biggest kick out of it. And we need to direct our forces not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. So that's his two main spheres of influence. Satan is deception and accusation. Those are the two. Deception and accusation. Okay, so verse 9 and 10, he's been booted out of heaven. Back in Isaiah chapter 14, if you know that's the chapter that's referred, the only time you find the word Lucifer, Lucifer says five times in Isaiah 14, I will, and he implied, I will go up. Five times he said it. In Ezekiel 28, the parallel passage is another place where it's mentioned the anointed cherub. God himself says five times, I will, and in essence, take you down. So Satan has a, shall we say, five-step degrading down. He was started off as the anointed cherub that covereth over the throne of God. He lost that in the fall, back in Genesis, probably chapter 1, verse 2, or maybe between 1 and verse 2. Then he was in the second heaven, and during the Lord's earthly ministry, the Lord himself said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And the Lord made a show of him openly on the day of Calvary. So on that day, it appears that he was degraded from the second heaven to the first heaven. That's why today he's a prince of the power of the air. In the mid of the tribulation, he will be degraded from the first heaven down to earth itself. Then at the end of the tribulation, he'll be degraded down to the bottomless pit. This is where we have the common phrase, he gets fired. He got fired from his job. Okay, at the end of the millennium, he is pulled out of the bottomless pit and then thrown into the lake of fire. So you got five steps down. Okay, and five times he said, I will go up. And God said five times, no, I'm taking you down. And he does that. Now, here's the power we have over that being in verse 11. Okay, and they, the Israelites, or the believers of the tribulation, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Okay, so you see two weapons, if we want to call it that, in verse 11, that you and I have power over unclean spirits and Satan is the blood of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Now, you also have prayer and fasting. You also have the armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6. You also have weapons like the weapons of rejoicing and so forth and so on. So we do have some spiritual weaponry we have to overcome Satan and his cohorts. Now, a person might say, well, it's just too much pressure. I can't handle it. You and me both. This is why you got to have the Lord handling it for you. If Noah can stand up against the world system without a Bible, without the permanent dwelling of the Spirit, okay, without the new birth in itself, if he by some miraculous grace of God stood against the world, then you and I ought to be able to do that with the power of God and the weapons that He's given us. In other words, just because we live in an age of apostasy, which I get absolutely sick of and tired of and fed up with, doesn't mean that we have a right to go into apostasy ourselves. Ruth remained a virtuous woman during times of apostasy. Okay, and so if she did, then so can you and I. And we even have more weaponry to help in this matter. So there's the power. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. They did not fear death. Okay? And that's the biggest thing, is you just cannot live under the spirit of fear without hurting yourself spiritually and mentally and physically. You see, and that's how people are controlled, is by fear. Verse 12, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Okay, the inhabitants of the earth. Now at this point, born again people will obviously be looking from heaven. Okay, but the people down on earth, this is going to be the ugliest time ever known to man. It is going to be, it's going to be beyond our imagination. The Left Behind series and The Thief in the Night, they can't even come close to how bad it's going to be. I mean, granted, I'm not opposed to those things. I think they're, you know, it gives insight into some things, but I don't believe that we can even imagine how bad it's going to be. Verse 13, when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Okay, so anti-Semiticism is a satanic hatred towards God. That's where it's directed to. And this is going to be worldwide. And in fact, Zechariah talks about this is Zechariah chapter 12, where he says Jerusalem will become a burdensome stone. Zechariah 12, verse 3. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people, and all that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. During this time period, anybody that is caught to try to help the Jewish people will be cut in pieces and possibly et. Okay, and so that's what he's talking about. It's going to be all over the telly, all over the Telstar, all this stuff, and people are going to get so sick and tired of hearing it, and they are going to hate the Jewish people as Haman did in the book of Esther. 14, and the woman, again, if that's Israel, the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, Petra, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. Okay, if you're going to go with the time period, a time 1 year, times 2 years, half time 3.5 years, you know, that would be logical. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Trying to get down to Israel, they would be hindered. The little book of Obadiah in the Old Testament, the smallest book in the Old Testament, 21 verses, portrays the Edomites, or we know as Arabs today, who will be standing out in the open, watching for the Jews and ratting on them everywhere they go. And the Jews will be trying to get down to Petra, and these Edomites will be hindering their path to get down there. And then Obadiah shows that the Jews are going to torch them in the end, by God's grace, that's for sure. Now, this idea of this beast, this red dragon, this weird being so big that it can drink water out of the Jordan River like Behemoth of Job 40 and spew it out at people as they're trying to run away. Okay, when water comes pouring out like that, there's the force of water is unbelievable what happens in a flood. But yet in this case, the earth is going to open up, verse 16, and the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Again, these are wacko, these are wild things for the human mind to try to comprehend. Verse 17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now that verse right there reinforces the idea that the tribulation time period will operate similar to the Mosaic covenant, which is what the book of Hebrews is all about, which is taking the Mosaic covenant, putting amendments to it, because it now is occurring after Calvary, where this is the problem with the Left Behind series, and recently I just wrote Kirk Cameron about that, about his doctrinal lacking in his videos, where the Left Behind series try to imply that you can get saved by receiving God or asking God into your life, whatever that means, okay, in the tribulation time period. The tribulation time period reverts to a faith and work system where in this age a person gets saved by grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ. Can a person get saved in the tribulation time period if they knew about the gospel in the tribulation prior to the rapture? The only verse that I know of that people usually try to hang their hat on is the one in 2 Thessalonians, in that they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved, so God sends a strong delusion. But the logic of it is, if a person is not going to receive salvation when it's full and free, the chances of them of receiving it when it's going to cost them their life is slim and none. When the devil is going to have the whole world deceived, except for the remnant. So verse 17 shows that this remnant, this seed here, is a remnant because of their faith in Jesus Christ and obeying the commandments of God. They keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is why the tribulation is not called the church's trouble. And this is why the church will be raptured out prior to that, like Enoch was raptured out prior to the flood. Okay, so that's Revelation 12. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to be good students of your word, faithful to them. In Jesus' name, amen.